The following message was given in the Church in New York City, Brooklyn District, May 7th, 2016. The title of the message is The Gospel of the Grace of God.
Bringing us here. Saints, praise the Lord.
Amen.
It is so good to be in Brooklyn, New York. Because we heard what Manhattan is, New York, New York. Yeah. And Brooklyn is Brooklyn, New York. Okay. Wow. We're here in Brooklyn, and we're here seeking the Lord.
Amen.
Looking to the Lord for His speaking.
Amen.
We last night we had a beginning in which we would like to fellowship the burden of this time. I believe is that we want to cooperate with the Lord in the present season,
yes,
and unto the goal of the building up of the body of Christ, the preparation of the bride of Christ, and ultimately consummating in the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
I know for some that are new, that sentence might not be, it doesn't set off hallelujahs in you yet, but it's anyway. We have a burden that we could enjoy and realize that the Lord is desirous to have on the earth a testimony. And that testimony is the testimony of the one new man.
Amen.
Where there are all kinds of people gained by Him, which were predestinated by Him,
yes,
premarked by Him,
amen,
and in time called by Him,
amen,
regenerated by Him,
amen,
and now today for many being under the process of transformation by Him,
amen,
and consummating one day in a city of treasure.
Amen.
Sorry, I can't get off of that, but
amen.
Brothers and sisters, wow. So today, what we hope to see further is we want to see the Lord, see in the Word, the matter of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew 24:14, it says this gospel of the kingdom, now, Joel, you have to help me, shall be preached, will be preached in the whole inhabited earth, and then the end shall come.
Yes.
Very good. For a testimony to the nations.
Amen.
Brothers, a testimony to the nations.
Amen.
Why a testimony to the nations? The nations in Genesis 11 rebelled. They exalted themselves. But the Lord, and they got completely divided under the Lord's judgment. But on this earth, the Lord is doing something in man through the imparting of Himself as life. And there will be on the earth a testimony not of division, but of oneness.
Amen.
Wow!
Praise the Lord!
So, wow, I want to be in this. I want to be a part of this. The end shall come. That's the matter of the Lord coming back. The Lord needs a testimony among men. All men. You know, some had a dream, and we thank the Lord that they had some realization concerning some things. But the Bible's realization is so much fuller. Oh, Lord. That on this earth there could be a situation. We've been living it. We've been enjoying it. Wow. Well, let's... In this matter, last night we fellowshiped concerning the gospel of the kingdom, which is particular, and it speaks of the matter of a realm in which God is the life of the realm, the authority of the realm, and the desire of God is that he's the king in the realm, and we're the dumb in the realm. It's marvelous. So, as we enjoy him, experience him, we are subdued. And we are controlled and governed and regulated. But I got to thinking about this a little bit, maybe too much. Light has authority over darkness. You know, it doesn't even have to exercise any kind of strength, like, you know, this is Daniel. Sorry. Is it Daniel?
Yep.
Hi, Daniel. You know, if Daniel and I got in a wrestling match, who do you think might prevail? But I don't know. He might have some super moves, and I'm gone. But you know what? Light and darkness have no kind of struggle. Light has no struggle with defeating darkness. It just spontaneously does it. That's just the characteristic of light. Well, brothers and sisters, it's the same with it, with the gospel, with the kingdom. With the Lord's kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, it's not a struggle. You know, I'm not struggling to love Alan or to love Dan as my brothers. They are genuinely my brothers. We were born in the same litter. We're litter mates. We are. And I'm not struggling to... If you enjoy the divine life, you're brought into the realm of the kingdom spontaneously. Things are yours. Isn't that wonderful? Wow, anyway. You might just hear me just saying, wow, the whole time. But it's just so sweet. So the realm, the characteristics of the divine life, and this through the gospel. Let me see. I think maybe I'll stop there on that point. And then we had some time together in the groups, and I hope. We hope again today we'll have some time in the groups to enjoy kind of renewing, refreshing ourselves with what has been spoken earlier last night and then what would be spoken this morning. But this morning we want to go on to see not another gospel, but another aspect of the gospel. And in this respect, let's read the title of this message.
The Gospel of the Grace of God.
Wow. Now, concerning grace and even the definition of grace, there of course is a common definition. When I say common, typical. That grace is favor unmerited. And you know what?
You can say that's true. God has favored us unimaginably. He favored us, sinners. That's true. Thank the Lord He favored us.
Amen.
There's let's see, the verse I'm looking for. Well, before we get to that verse, you have this matter of unmerited favor. Then we have to realize something, that the Bible has its definition. Men have theirs, and the Bible has its definition. When you come to John 1, it's really clear. In John 1, it says, "And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That's John 1:1. Then in 1:14 it says, "And the Word," which we got defined in the first verse, "became flesh." Hallelujah! It became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father. Full of unmerited favor. You know, when you read it that way, and you plug in that kind of definition, you realize it doesn't fit. Full of grace and reality. And then it says later, the law was given through Moses, grace and reality came. That you know, came. So then you realize that grace is not the action of favoring. Grace is the person.
Amen.
Just like last night we discovered, the kingdom is a person.
Amen.
The gospel is a person.
Amen.
Am I crazy or what? But that's the Bible's presentation. It presents to us a living person as the reality of, in this instance, grace. I love grace. We even named one of our daughters Grace. We enjoy grace. 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 Grace to you. Wow. That is, this gospel of grace is good news.
Amen.
Roman numeral 1 says, "Grace is God Himself in Christ as the Spirit given to us,
amen,
gained by us,
amen,
and enjoyed by us."
Amen.
Grace is God Himself. Well, you can see in the verses we mentioned, John 1:1. God, the Word is God. Then this Word became flesh. And ultimately, if you follow the whole way through John, the Word that became flesh also became the breathable Spirit in John 20:22. So grace is God Himself, but it's God Himself in a process. And when I say process, I'm referring to all the steps that the Triune God passed through in order to be our enjoyment and our reality. Oh, Lord. He stepped out of eternity. onto the bridge of time.
Amen.
And he was the complete God.
Amen.
The triune God.
Amen.
And then he went to the cross.
Yes.
And there he died an all-inclusive death.
Amen.
A wonderful death. None of us could have died. If we'd have died, that's it. But he died and then was resurrected.
Right.
In that resurrection, he became the Spirit.
Amen.
Including all of the triune God.
Amen.
The Father, Son, and Spirit. So today, this Spirit, or I should say on the day of resurrection, this Spirit was breathed out.
Amen.
And he breathed out, and we breathe in.
Amen.
And deeply flows this life within.
Amen.
So now we enjoy grace.
Amen.
He was merely grace in himself in John 1:1. But by the end of John, in John 22, he's the receivable, enterable,
Amen.
Enjoyable.
Amen.
What other bowl? Enterable, triune God.
Amen.
And guess what? Now we, like the Apostle Paul, can become stewards of the grace. So that means we've enjoyed grace. We've enjoyed grace to such an extent that we have stores of grace.
Amen.
And we give grace.
Amen.
Do you know there's such a verse that says that it may give grace to the hearer. This is in Ephesians, I believe, chapter 4. Brothers, is that right? 4:29? I'm sorry this wasn't on your sheet, but I'd like to refer to it very quickly. Read it. Because in chapter 3 of Ephesians, it mentions that Paul was a steward of the grace. Verse 2 says, "If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of the grace of God, which was given to me for you." And then in "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up, according to the need, that it may give grace to those who hear."
Amen.
Brothers, O Lord, with our wives in our daily lives, how are we doing? O Lord, are we giving grace? Well, we can give grace, or we can give something else. I have to admit that many times it's something else. Oh Lord, fill me with grace.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this is the good news, that God is grace, but we have to enjoy God as grace. And here it says, "The grace given to us in Christ was bestowed on us before the world began." That's point A. "God, who was in the beginning, became flesh in time as grace for man to receive, possess, enjoy, and enjoy, making God contactable, touchable, receivable, experientiable, intable, and enjoyable."
Amen.
Amen. The grace, this is point C, "the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the bountiful supply of the triune God, who is embodied in the Son and realized as the life-giving Spirit, enjoyed by us through the exercise of our Spirit. Now this brings in a very practical way for us to enjoy Christ. Because if Christ is not the Spirit, He's not in our spirit. But because He is the Spirit, He is very available in our spirit, and we can contact Him as grace by exercising our spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus. This is why we call on the name of the Lord. It's because we want to contact the Lord who is the Spirit in our spirit. So, if we want grace, we can have grace at any moment. And what happens when the Lord is in our spirit, He is the governor. So, you know, we have driven in New York a while. I hadn't found out you could speed very much in New York streets. Yeah, because you're in traffic. And you're in traffic. But you can call. You can enjoy grace. And we exercise to enjoy grace very much as we were driving. But you know, I thought Houston had it over every city in the nation. Until. But you know, it's good. You can enjoy grace. That's why I realized the saints in New York are so full of grace. It's because they're exercising in traffic. We in the Texas area, we're experiencing grace, learning to slow down. Because the Lord is there in us operating, going 61, huh? The speed limit 60. 65, huh? So the Lord inside of us. So if we want to enjoy more grace, we have to be one submitting to the experience of the Lord as our King. Amen. Oh Lord. In our speech, it's the same. We just want to say to the Lord, Lord, just give me a little freedom. And the Lord doesn't do it. The more we abide by the indwelling Lord who is speaking within us, the more we enjoy grace. So it's oh, day by day, a marvelous divine transmission, this is point D, should be taking place. God is supplying the Spirit of grace bountifully, and we should be receiving and, could you read that with me? Dispensing Spirit of grace continually. Wow. So not only is Paul participating in the stewardship, we are participating in the stewardship. Lord Jesus. And as we participate in the stewardship of grace, or I should say in the transmission of grace, the more we grow.
Amen.
And the more we develop. When I was born, an 8-pound baby. Just a blob, basically. And everybody said I was cute. I only know this from my parents. But there was not much function. But through the receiving of lots of supplies, I've grown to this measure. and I used to participate in athletics. Used to. But it's the same in the divine life. The more we receive the dispensing of the grace of God,
amen,
the more we grow.
Amen.
And the more our gifts are developed. We need our gifts developed in the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Brothers on the front row, we need our gifts developed, don't we?
Amen.
So that we can do what? So that we could build up the body of Christ.
Amen.
Oh, anyway, all right. Oh, Lord, amen. Well, I'm going to have to skip over this next section. I'm already in Paul, in the dispensing, the stewardship of grace. And I'd like to end, because Joel is going to share some. Roman numeral 3. Could we read that together? The grace of the Lord Jesus dispensed into His chosen ones throughout the New Testament age. What's our time?
In the New Jerusalem, in which the processed and consummated trial.
So we can take 10 minutes.
Will be the grace
10 more minutes.
Enjoyed by
not
all
me, but
believers for eternity.
You know, I really, really enjoy that the New Testament ends with grace.
Amen.
Revelation 22:21. That is wonderful. Because ultimately, grace is God doing everything for us.
Amen.
And being everything to us.
Amen.
So that He could live for us.
Amen.
So that He could consummate His intention, which is to have His expression, which is shown here as a sign in the New Jerusalem. Wow. Brothers and sisters, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Don't you enjoy grace?
Amen.
How about together we say, Lord, thank You, You are grace.
Amen.
Lord, thank You, You are grace. Increase the grace within me.
Increase the grace within me.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank You, Lord, for the gospel of grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank You. Amen. Wasn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Grace is a person.
Amen.
Grace is the triune God.
Amen.
Just consider this, okay? How would you feel if you received $1 million right now? Right now, right now, right here. You feel pretty good. But here is something. You receive the God of the universe.
Amen.
This is grace.
Amen.
I'm beside myself. We can receive the triune God.
Amen.
He wanted to give Himself to you.
Amen.
Even you.
Amen.
You may not consider yourself to be something, but God wanted to give Himself to you.
Amen.
What grace is this?
Amen.
We can receive God.
Amen.
In Christ.
Amen.
As the Spirit in our spirit.
Amen.
You know, we receive this grace to dispense this grace. And you know, our brother started with a certain kind of word. He began saying, in Genesis, you have a particular kind of situation. There's a rebellion, and then there's division. Okay? This is the way God conquers division.
That's right.
How many gods are there? There is only one God.
Amen.
So the more we receive the one God as grace, what do we become? We become one. This is the one new man. You see this? This is the miraculous structure of treasure he was talking about by the end of the Bible. So at the beginning, you see a problem there. There's first sin, and then there's division, and then there's division, and division, and division. But God comes in. He comes in as grace. Oh, grace and reality came. Grace and reality came. By receiving this grace, we become one. So the situation that was there in Genesis is being reversed today. Today it's being reversed. Actually, I like to mention just one point that was, our brother had to skip over it because of time. But here it says, one of the ways to receive grace is by the blood, the word, the spirit, and the church. Okay, I'll just mention this last thing, the church. Okay, the word for church in the New Testament is it's a Greek word. It's ekklesia. Okay, and it means to be called out. The assembling of the called out ones. Okay, so if you remember, the title of this time, okay, is the gospel of the kingdom for the one new man. And last night we saw in the one new man, there cannot be. There cannot be. There cannot be culture. There cannot be religion. There cannot be social ranking. There cannot be you. And there cannot be me. But Christ. Christ is all. Christ is in all. So how do you receive this Christ? You need to be called out. You see? So the church is a group of called out people. You come out of your culture. You come out of your religion. You come out of your history. You come out of anything that is not Christ. And what you enter into is the unique one. You enter into Christ as the one who is all and as the one who is in all. As we enjoy such a Christ, okay, you can look. This word grace in the New Testament is all inclusive. Amen. So as you enjoy Christ as grace, eventually when people see you, actually I believe if anyone entered into this room last night or just earlier or even right now, they would say great grace was upon them. Amen. Why? Because we are here enjoying the one who is grace. Amen. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's enjoy grace. Amen. Receive grace. Amen. Let's be filled with grace. Actually, the Christian life is a life of grace. If you're not receiving grace, you're not living the Christian life. If you're not enjoying Christ, you're not receiving the Christian life. You're not living the Christian life. So our brother alluded to a couple of ways. He said, we turn to our spirit. Then he said, we call on the name of the Lord. You see, so when we call Lord Jesus, actually, Brother Clem, are you going to come? Yeah. Brother Clem. Brother Clem.
Yes.
Brother Clem.
Yes.
Brother Clem.
Yes.
He comes, doesn't he? When you call Lord Jesus, grace comes. Grace wraps me up. You see that? That's right. So all the time we call on the Lord. You know, this should be a mark of our living today. When you're in that traffic hour, you just go, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Right away, grace comes. Grace wraps you up. You experience, you enjoy, you touch, you contact, you enter into grace. And even in that little calling, God's purpose is fulfilled. Right then, you're being brought out of everything else. You're brought out of yourself. You're brought out of your frustration. You're brought out of the traffic. You are in God Himself. And God is in you. How much more is this than unmerited favor? You get God. Amen. Nothing can buy that. Last night he said, you can give me $1 million. I would not trade. I wouldn't even wink. I get the God of the universe just by calling on his name. This is grace to us. And this is how the one new man is brought into being. So eventually there cannot be, but there is Christ. And then we are called out of everything else to call on the name of the Lord. And then great grace is upon us. Praise the Lord. We enjoy grace. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Did you enjoy grace? I'm enjoying grace. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is not a small matter. When we receive grace in this way, we can actually, you know, when you're receiving grace, you can't help but speak words of grace. It doesn't matter what the situation is. As you turn to your spirit, you're under the throne. Oh, right. So let's just write this down. Hebrews 4:16. Okay, it speaks about, let us come forward. Oh, let us come forward. Let us come forward. Don't shrink back. Come forward. We come forward to the throne of grace. So as our brother mentioned, there is a kingdom here and there is a throne there. But it doesn't stop there. It says to receive mercy and find grace. But here, it doesn't stop there. It says, for timely help. I love this word, timely help. Have you ever been in a situation and you just feel, if I could just get some help right now, right now. This throne of grace is in your spirit. Amen. Do you need timely help?
Yes.
Wow. You just turn to your spirit by calling, Lord Jesus. And immediately at that time, it doesn't matter what your situation is, you are brought under the throne of grace. You receive mercy and you find what you were looking for. Okay, you may have thought you were looking for all kinds of other things. Oh, I need a car right now. Oh, I need $50 right now. Oh, I just need to be out of here right now. Actually, what you need is grace. So once you turn to your spirit, at that instant, timely help comes. You know, whenever you're in a situation and you're so desperate, you just turn to the Spirit and right there is grace. Grace for timely help. I'm, you know, when this kind of thing happens, you're full of grace. And you live this way, you accumulate, like our brother said, stores of grace. Then it doesn't matter. If anyone contacts you, whether they contact you in a rough way or in a happy way, all that comes out is just grace. So grace is to me, but for you. And then in this way, we're able to give grace to one another. But you see, it starts with our coming out of everything else. We come out of everything else and we come forward to the throne of grace in our spirit by calling on the name of the Lord. Grace is dispensed into our being. We dispense grace to one another. Eventually, there is nothing but Christ as grace. This is the one new man. Amen. Maybe we should stop here.
As our brother said earlier, according to Ephesians 4:29, we can speak grace one to another. We can give words. We can speak words that give grace to the hearers. And these words build one another up. So what we'd like to do for the remainder of the time, just as we did last night, is to divide into groups. so that everyone has an opportunity to speak grace. Now, a number of us here this morning were not with us last night, so we'd like to instruct you a little bit. On your tag, you should have received the at registration a name tag. There should be a number on it. There should be a number. If you're in groups 1 through 13, those groups are already situated. Okay? Those groups are already situated. Is Aaron here? Huh? Not here. Okay. Ivanhoe? Can you ask Ivanhoe to come? Yeah. Groups 1 to 13 are already placed. So if you are new this morning and you're in one of those groups, okay, we'll tell you right now where to go. In this room, I believe it's groups 1 through 5. 1 through 5. One here. Where's 2?
Here.
Over here, this corner. 3?
Three.
4? Four. And 5 is in the middle. And 7 and 8, groups 7 and 8, do you have this?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, groups 7 and 8 are down the hallway, past the registration tables, and at the very end. Then Ivanhoe will finish this.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So 7 and 8 are down the hall, as Brother Ricky mentioned. Those of you who are already in the group, maybe lead the ones that might be new to your group that arrived today. So keep an eye out for maybe some that might be wondering. Group, and there's a new group also, so group 14, I'll get to you in a second. Group 11, 12, and 13 are downstairs in the cafeteria, same location as yesterday. Some of the ushering brothers will help you if you don't know where the cafeteria is. Down the hallway to the left, down the two sets of stairs, and then you make a right down a long hallway, and you'll get to our cafeteria. There are also signs posted.
The short way to the cafeteria is through the store, downstairs.
Amen.
Is that allowed? Or we're discouraging that?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Group 9 and 10 are in the room. As you go down the two sets of stairs, you make a left. It's the first door that's open, what we usually use for our nursery. So local saints that are hosting, please direct those in group 9 and 10 to the nursery. Group 6 is in the hallway out here, right next to the door. There's a sign posted on the wall that with a 6. And the new group, group 14, if you're in group 14, you're going to be right here in the hallway. So we will ask that you wait until all the other groups have exited, and then you can form your group right outside this room in the hallway. Amen.
We would ask all the groups that are, all the groups that are in this room, all the groups that are in the cafeteria downstairs, and all the groups that are in the hallways, okay, that is that anyone that has in a public area or other groups nearby, to consider not to do corporate reading of the outline or points. If you're going to read some points, just go one by one. And because that'll keep the noise level down. There is a certain echo in this room, and if so, one group's enjoying very boisterously, it may interrupt a little bit. So let's take care of one another this way. Hey, if you're in your private rooms downstairs or at the end of the hallway, just be as loud as you want to. It's okay. Just be released. Just be released. Okay. Now, in the group time, we're going to have about 40 minutes today in the group time. We'd like everyone to come back at noon for some announcements and instructions about lunch. Okay? But in the group time, we would like to encourage, of course, to foster the mutuality, to give everyone an opportunity, if you'd like, to share something. But certainly, if you have any questions, we'd like a good atmosphere where you can ask the questions and feel free. Don't think that any question is too insignificant, or certainly don't think, oh, this is a dumb question. You don't even have to start saying that way. Just ask the question. And of course we hope that there could be a brief introduction, that we all know one another, okay? But we hope you don't spend too long, because we want you to get into the Word, okay? So then, actually at the end of the verse sheet that you received today are a few questions. They say, how's it titled? Study questions. So you can use that as a guide for your fellowship, or you can just feel free that everyone share what they enjoyed, and again, if you have any questions. Okay? So I hope that that's clear. We would ask all the ones who are meeting downstairs. So that's groups 10 to 14. No, it's not 14. 10, 11, and 12, and 13. 10 to 13. You're free to go first. Okay? Could you go first downstairs?